talked about this idea that the subscribers went before the emperor. They knelt down, they bared their necks over to the emperor, and they said, "You can take our lives because we'd rather give our life up than our faith." And the emperor, Charles V, he considered the German situation. You got to remember, he was kind of a coward. You remember that when it came to Germany? He couldn't speak German. He was at a big disadvantage with that. He had just signed a peace treaty with France. He was trying to defend everybody against the Turkish invasion. He was trying to assuage fears that another revolt, another peasants' revolt was coming up. You remember last week we talked about the idea that they had killed a few hundred thousand in just the course of a year. So he was really trying to do what he could. The only end that he was going to come to, that he could come to, was to allow the German princes to do as they saw best. He allowed those subscribers, though, to leave and go in peace. So that meant that if the German princes wanted to put down the Lutheran rebellion, they could do that. If they wanted to embrace it, they could do it for a little while anyway. In the meantime, the Roman Catholics, they formed their own defense against the Augsburg Confession. They called this the Confutation. It started doubling down on Roman Catholic errors that the Lutherans had called out. Some of the things we agree with them in there, but that's because they didn't understand us the first time. When we say what comes next, which is that in our response, the Lutheran response, we wrote what's called the Apology to the Augsburg Confession. That doesn't mean that we're saying sorry for it. It means that in the Latin, we are defending what we wrote. And so the Lutherans doubled down right back on the Romans. Now, theologically, none of this was very pretty. It ended actually with the formation of something called the Schmalkaldic League, which is just fun to say. You can say it with me. Ready? Schmalkaldic League. The Schmalkaldic League was an alliance formed by different territories that wanted to protect Reformation doctrines. They wanted to make sure that the recess the emperor called for after Augsburg, that peace after Augsburg, until everything could be decided rightly, continued on and everyone was protected. And they really didn't do all that badly, actually, for a little while anyway, until the Schmalkaldic War that happened in 1546. But during these 15 years of the League, Ulrich Zwingli, remember we talked about him a few weeks ago, he decided to lead the troops of Zurich against much larger cities because they didn't like his theology. In fact, the Zurich army started leading wars against other areas because they felt isolated, having been led into Zwingli's doctrines. And ultimately, Zwingli would fight for Zurich and lose really quite badly, and he would die on the battlefield. Battlefields are never a good place for theologians. Sadly, that theology that he espoused, the symbolic theology, it still exists today. Henry VIII, you guys remember him, he was a staunch Roman Catholic, avowedly against Luther. He wrote to his friend the Pope regarding his marriage. His wife had given him no son, and that wasn't acceptable to Henry, that a female daughter should take his throne. We talked about reigns today. So he wanted an annulment from his wife so that he could try to have a son with another wife, and ultimately he would do this five times. The Pope steadfastly refused him. And on this thing, it was kind of weird. The Pope wasn't able to be bribed with any amount of money. That's very odd. So Henry VIII declared a separation from Rome, and he began the Church of England, of which, of course, the monarch would be the head. In the beginning, the church was much more Roman Catholic than anything else, but today, you know, the Church of England, being Anglican, has become largely and liberally Protestant, with very squishy doctrine everywhere you look. I like that, squishy doctrine. Probably the most positive thing that came out during these times was that the English Bible was read legally now, finally, throughout the land. Actually, the Bible was translated into English before it was ever translated into German. I don't know if you know that. But Tyndale ended up burned as a heretic for translating it into English. Now, though, with King Henry VIII, the head of the English church, why not? Let's bring the English Bible back. So they did that. That was legal now. The Roman church was not going to allow the Bible to be published in anything but Latin anywhere else. They hated Luther's German translation. But now, with England reading the English Bible, Rome eventually kind of gave way to the idea that you could read the Bible in the vernacular, in your own language. However, over the last 1,000 years, that really has not gotten any better for the Roman Church. In fact, if you go to most of your Roman Catholic friends today and ask them how much time they spend in the Bible, I would imagine that many of them have not opened it in years. And that's because the Roman Church still teaches that you don't need to read the Bible on your own, but you can have the church interpret it for you. Anyway, all through this time, Lutherans continued to preach and to teach and to confess the Christian faith according to the Word of God. There are towns and cities and entire countries ready to leave the Roman Church, and the Lutheran confessional doctrines began to be written. There's a lot more that we could say on this. There's a ton more that we could say on the Reformation. Remember, we started this so that we could have a little bit more history as to where we come from and look to where we're going, even through the Reformation. There's at least 50 more good years that are in here, all the way up to the formulation of the Formula of Concord in 1580. That is the, in fact, that's kind of the capstone document of Lutheranism. Because if you will not accept the Formula of Concord, you really rightly cannot be called a Lutheran. And so it is that we find even separation with some of our denominationally named brothers and sisters, like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, who in essence rejects the Formula of Concord. They, in that sense, can't be called Lutheran. So we could talk about all that history, but I think we're going to leave our Reformation studies here. Next year, I'd like to pick something back up, and if you have a suggestion as to something you would like to cover in quick minute, 5-minute Bible studies, 6-minute Bible studies after the service, that would be great. Again, this is all to give you an opportunity to have a little bit of extra teaching and a little something to take home with you, just in case you forgot the sermon. And as always, you guys probably know this, all of my sermons, all of the Bible studies, in case you ever miss one, they are all online for you. That's the reason I put them up for you, so that you can read them if you so desire and go back. Did Pastor really say that? That kind of thing. Because as you know, I'm encouraging you, you never listen to me with an open mind, but always an open Bible. And that's a great way to do it. Let's pray. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own, and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.